What transgender issue do you think confuses people the most?
I think the big question is why. I think it's that. I really think it's why. Everybody asks me all the time, why? You know, and I have to turn to them and go, listen, I have absolutely no idea why. I don't know why. No one knows why. People are trying to figure it out, but no one knows why. So I think that's the big, issue. And I think that's part of the reason we're trapped in those closets, because we don't know why we're like this. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. So nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to explain it. They just want to say, this is the way I am, and this is the way I was born, which is fine. It's just that, you know, in order for us to have any kind of rights whatsoever, we're going to have to eventually get over that question and just start living honestly. Let somebody else figure it out.
Well, probably the follow-up question is, well, if you ended up marrying a woman, why didn't you stay a man?
Yes, that would have made things easier, wouldn't it? Now you sound like my parents. Well, and Chris Ann and I, my partner Chris Ann, and I have always said to other people when they condemn us for one reason or another, you know, why didn't you just stay male? I always say, listen, don't you think if I could have, I would have? Why would I choose? Why would I sit in my apartment when I was 18 years old and go, do I file my nails or transition into a female? Oh, what a decision. Why would I do that? This is something I had to do. This is something I was compelled to do. This is something I knew about myself since the day I was born. I knew it.
Do you think there's a divide within the trans community between trans men and trans women?
Oh, isn't that an interesting question? I don't think so. I don't think so. Boy, I would hope not. But I don't think so. I think that all of us, because we fall under that umbrella that we were talking about, that sort of transgendered umbrella, we all still sort of understand what all of us are going through. You know, I think we consider each other brothers and sisters. So no, I really don't think so. I think there's more of a divide in the gay male and female population than there is with us.
Well, one thing I was thinking about is it's, in a way, a different journey for trans men and trans women. And there are, for example...
Do you think so? How do you think? Like, what
well,
do you mean?
Well, psychologically, I think a trans man could all of a sudden find themselves in a world where they have male privilege.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, isn't that interesting? I think you're absolutely right. I'll never forget, you know, I started transitioning very, very young. I was about 18 or 19 years old. And I lived in California for a long time when I was younger. And, you know, it's fabulous weather out here pretty much every day, with the exception of about, you know, 2 months when it rains. And so I spent most of my youth with my shirt off. And so when I started to transition, started to go on hormone therapy and one thing or another, I realized all of a sudden, and I know this sounds a bit odd, but it was sort of a metaphor for what I was in for living as a transgendered female. I realized I could no longer spend most of my time with my shirt off. I began to have to cover myself up. And what was bizarre was as I began to transition, I began to be treated not only as if I should cover myself, but as if I couldn't do anything all of a sudden. I couldn't open my own door. I couldn't light my own cigarette. I couldn't put on my own coat. I all of a sudden couldn't pay for meals when I was out on a date. And I wanted to turn to all these people and go, listen, I'm still the same person. I can open my own damn door. Get out of my way. So there was, like you said, there is a loss of rights, I believe, of inalienable rights that happens. And in the reverse, when you go from female to male, I would assume that's true. You're right. You actually gain power. Isn't that interesting? I never thought about that.
And I think a lot of the women, ones who become women, kind of buy into the stereotype that they're supposed to be meek and so forth.
That's exactly right. Exactly, JD, which is what perpetuates that stereotype. You're exactly right. And unfortunately, we as transgendered females buy into that. Oh, I can't do this anymore. And oh, won't you take care of me? And oh, I'm a slight, you know, little helpless creature. And yes, we buy into that. And we become a caricature. We become overly so. We become a living cartoon. And quite frankly, most of the women that I know don't act like that. My Chris Ann, my partner, never acts like that, ever. She's one of the most powerful women I know.
What new projects are you working on?
Well, we have a couple of things sort of on the back burner. The pilot, the nurse's pilot that I was talking about, I think is going to air in June sometime. And right now, I'm co-directing again a version of Hamlet, which is going to be performed here in Los Angeles outside at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, you know, where they showed all the old movies and stuff. Yeah.
And you're in a movie, The Socket?
I'm in a movie. Yeah, oh, I forgot about the movie. I'm in a movie. Good heavens. Like, you know more about me than I do. This is really frightening. Yeah, Socket just got accepted to the Alt Film Festival, so that should be playing in some festivals in the next 2 or 3 months while they look for distribution. So, yeah.
It looks delightfully creepy.
It is creepy. It is delightfully creepy. It's delightfully creepy in a creepy sort of delightful way.
A couple of years ago, I played on my show your duet with Honey West. I love that song. I understand you're close friends.
She's the best friend I have in the entire world. Yes, she and I, we've shared everything. And I do mean everything. Yes, she and I are very, very dear friends. Yeah.
As I said, I love these two songs and love the way they put them together. From Honey West's 1997 album, Take Honey West Home, here are the songs 50% and I Know Him So Well.
Nothing is so good, it lasts eternally. No one is completely on your side. And though I move my world to be with him, still the gap between us is too wide. Looking back, I could have played it differently. Won a few more moments, who can tell? But I was ever so much younger then. Now at least I know him well. I don't iron his shirts, I don't sew on his buttons, I don't know all the jokes he tells or the songs he hums. Though I may hold him all through the night, he may with you constantly. No one is completely on your side. And though I move my world to be with him, still the gap between us is too wide.
Life is anyone's guess.
Played it differently.
It's a constant surprise.
Mad about the boy before I fell.
Though you don't plan to fall,
but I was
in love.
Ever so much
Honey West and Alexandra Billings doing a transgendered duet. Is there any question that I should have asked?
You should have asked me what's my favorite food.
What's your
hamburgers
favorite?
And milkshakes. Hamburgers and milkshakes.
Yes, yeah, I did read that on your website that you can eat hamburgers until the cows come home.
That's right. And when they come home, I eat them.
I haven't said how I landed this interview with Alexandra. A couple times over the years, I've interviewed Steve Shocklin and Jim Brochu. They are partners and both extremely talented, having written several excellent musicals and plays, including The Last Session and The Big Voice, God or Mormon. They were in Houston for Jim's show, Zero Hour, and when I went to see that show, I talked with Steve a little and mentioned that I was doing a show on transgendered artists. He immediately mentioned Alexandra, which psyched me up because she was already on my wish list of folks I'd like to interview. And he helped make that happen. But he also told me about a song he wrote that he wants Alex to record. The song is about Billy Tipton, who was a transgendered jazz musician who had modest success in the 40s and 50s, and it was only when he died in 1989 that it was discovered that he was a woman. There's lots more to tell about Billy, and if you want more, please check out my QMH show from August of 2000, which was my first show on transgendered music. Anyway, I mentioned Steve Shocklin's song to Alex, and here are her comments.
The Billy Tipton song. Yeah, isn't it? It's a beautiful song. It's a great song. We haven't had a chance to record it yet. We wanted to have it ready before we did this interview, but we couldn't get together. But it's a terrific song. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I'd love to hear you do it. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, not a lot of people remember Billy. It's funny. He had such a fascinating life, and this song really sort of captures that. It's sort of a story song, which I love. I love songs that have sort of a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's such a fascinating story. You know, he had such an interesting life.
Well, hopefully on a future show, I can play you Alexandra Doyne Steve Shacklin's song about Billy Tipton. But thanks to Steve, I can share with you his demo version of it right now. And this is a Queer Music Heritage exclusive. Steve Shacklin and Brilliant Masquerade.
Inside a Corpus Christi bar, bolstered by vodka and vermouth, he hitched his wagon to a star, and Texas never knew the truth. As sure as the sun sets in the sky, as sure as some secret stay unseen, every day he lived a lie, and every night was Halloween. He took the road less traveled on, while the boulevards diverged. Billy Tipton came to life, and his old self submerged. To old Joplin Town he ran, before his dreams became undone. He became a happy man, at least in the eyes of everyone. And he swung a magic wand, saw beyond his brilliant masquerade. He was Oklahoma born, he was different from the star, and no one knew the truth he kept inside his secret heart. He was a tomboy in the reeds, he was a cowboy in the range. Born into the wrong body, knew that someday he would change. Between a woman and a man, between the magic and mirage, there was a passion in the dark, there was the kiss of camouflage. He knew the jubilation jam, and nobody ever got wise to see through the secret of the sham under his beautiful disguise. And he swung a magic wand as he opened nobody saw beyond his brilliant masquerade. Nobody lifted up his lid. Nobody learned his real name. His identity stayed hid until the paramedics came. They found the wound that never healed under the cloak of all the dash. The secret never was revealed until that posthumous flash. And some of his dreams would not come true, and some of his songs would
This is Alexandra Billings, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage. Yay!
In this interview, I could definitely not do justice to all that's wonderful and exciting about Alex, so please check out her website, www.alexandrabillings.com. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. And for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper. every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. For the closing act on this show, I chose a new band out of Toronto called The Clicks. I'm very impressed with their debut album, which is called Snake House. They're getting a lot of attention and have even landed a song on the TV show The L Word. So I got their lead singer, Lucas Silveira, on the phone for this quick interview. Tell me about the new album.
Snake House is a collection of songs that I ended up writing after the end of a 6.5-year long relationship. And after that time, a series of bad things happened to me. And at the same time, I started coming to terms with the fact that I was transgendered. And all these experiences together, I created the album.
How did you get on the L Word?
We did a show at Toronto Pride where we came on right after Betty. And Betty, who does the theme song for The L Word. And I believe that one of the members of Betty is the music supervisor, or knows somebody who is the music supervisor over at The L Word. And they asked for one of our CDs, and our manager happened to be there. They gave him one, and the next thing you knew, they asked us if we wanted to have a song on. So that's how it happened.
Have you noticed the impact of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was the night it aired, literally on MySpace, we got like so many hits and so many emails and people asking where they could buy the CD. And it really, really changed and kind of moved things really forward for us. It was just kind of like the beginning of it starting to do that. So yeah, huge, huge impact.
And from the new Various Artists compilation, L Tunes, music from and inspired by The L Word, is a bit of their song, Complicated.
Take your pain away, it's what you had to do. So far on through to emotion. Take your pain away. Your slips on through. I felt in you the commotion.
That version of the Clicks song Complicated is the more radio-friendly version. The one from their own album is definitely not ready for regular radio. What part does being trans have in your music?
Not much. It's just the fact that I'm trans, it just happens to be who I am, and I don't really go into this place in myself where I say I'm trans and this is the music I write. I just write from where I am inside, like my soul, not my gender. So it's just I take everything from experiences.
Do you think it's influenced your writing?
I don't think it's influenced my writing. I think that it has allowed me to be a lot more open with who I am and how I express myself. But I think that that happens in any situation that somebody comes to terms with their identity, whether it be, you know, that they're trans, gay, bi, or just with the fact that, you know, that they come out of a life experience that has changed them as a person.
You're very out as a trans person. Have you found that to be kind of a double-edged sword as far as the band getting attention?
You know, I could, you know, if I was a bitter person and the kind of person that wanted to look on the bad side of things, then I could say, yeah, it kind of sucks because every time I get into a conversation with somebody about my music, they end up asking me about the fact that I'm transgendered. But at the same time, I think being visible is extremely important, and it is a, you know, a point of interest to a lot of people. So I don't mind so much, and I think that it has not hindered me in any way so far. So I can't say that I've seen, you know, the bad side of it. And the good side of it is that, you know, I have given something for people to talk about. So it's a good thing. You know, it's not bad.
There seems to be a growing number of trans men artists. Do you feel like a mentor in that area?
Ooh, that's such an intense word, mentor. I'd like to say that if I can help anybody be okay with who they are, whether it be that they're trans or anything else, then, you know, that's a good thing. Whether I'm somebody, you know, to be looked at to represent an entire, you know, part of the population, you know, mainly trans men, I have difficulty with that just because of the fact that I don't represent everybody and everybody's different. So, but I, you know, sometimes these things can't be helped. But it, like I said, if I can help anybody, you know, be okay with who they are, I'm totally happy with that.
Is there another song on the album that you'd like to talk about that has special meaning to you?
Well, that's difficult. They all really, really do. I think one of the songs on the album that I feel really strongly about is Oh Yeah, which is the song that we have a video for. And that song in itself is just really important to me because it was written at probably the lowest point that I could probably ever go to. And, you know, when I listened to it, I found that I went down just like the song says, but then I got back up. And it's also about strength, so it's just a song about hope and redemption, and that's kind of what I hope that the album comes through as.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, I've fallen down, but I can get up. Everyone in this fucking town can get the back. He's not listening.
That was a bit of the song, Oh Yeah.
I'm trying not to gush in this conversation, but I
That's
think
okay.
it's a wonderful album.
Thank you.
It really is, and the voice is terrific, but not only that, the person who produced it was wise enough to let the people understand the voice.
Yes. That was Mo Berg. He was in The Pursuit of Happiness, a band that was pretty big here in Canada. Back in the 80s and 90s, or early 90s, and he was amazing. He was just such an amazing human being to work with, and really just kind of like what you said, he really serves the music and the songs, and he doesn't try to, you know, make them something they're not, and I really, really love that.
Well, there's so many rock acts that you hear it and you say, oh, well, that felt good, but I don't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to Mo, and it is very important to me, and it's one of those things that, you know, through experience and having recorded other albums previous to this, you just kind of realize that the number one thing that people want to hear is they want to hear your voice, and they want to hear the words that you're saying, and I think that Mo really puts a lot of importance on that, and we all do as a band, so it worked out.
You can find out more about this group at www.theclicks.com. And that's spelled www.theclicks.com. And I can't tell you on regular radio where the name came from, but you can probably do some Googling and find out. I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to especially thank Alexandra Billings and Lucas Sabiera of The Clicks for the wonderful interviews. And there was so much from Alex's interview that I could just not fit in the radio version of this show, so my internet listeners can hear an extended version with a lot more comments and additional music. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. I've got one more question for Lucas Silveira, and that was to tell me about my favorite track on their album called Cry Me a River.
Well, Mr. Justin Timberlake wrote that song, and he wrote it, the take that I got on it anyhow, and I think I might be pretty accurate, is that it was written about his breakup with a certain lady and the loss of trust, and I just really, really related to the lyrics, and I had been coming out of a relationship that had sort of the same situation, and upon connecting with lyrics, I usually start singing songs and playing them on my guitar, and one day I just brought it into band, and we started jamming it out, and it just sounded great. There was just something about the song itself that I felt a little bit more intense about, and, you know, since I do rock and roll, I got a chance to use it as sort of like a therapy session, so to speak.
I love that you very naturally kept the male pronouns.
Well, yeah.
And that sort of makes a statement itself.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, when, especially when we play live, if they don't know us or they've never seen us play the song or whatever, they're kind of, isn't that interesting? But, you know, it's good to kind of, you know, gender fuck with people like that sometimes, because it gives them a little bit of an awakening as to, you know, what their world is and how many other people there are on this planet that are different than them.
You were my son. You were my earth, but you didn't know all the ways that I loved you, no. So you took a chance and made other plans. But I bet you didn't know your world would come crumbling down, no. You don't have to say what you did, I already know, I found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't I make you sad about it. You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone? You told me you love me when you call me on the phone. Girl, I refuse. You must have me confused with some other guy. Your bridges are burned. Cry me a river, cry me a river, cry me a river. only talk to him and you know it. Don't act like you don't know it. All of these things people tell me keep messing with my head. You should have picked honesty and you may not have blown it. You don't have to say what you did. I already know. I found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't I make you sad about it. You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone? You told me you love me when you call me on the phone. Oh, girl, I refuse. You must have me confused with some other guy. Your bridges are burned and now it's your turn. Damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. You don't have to say what you did. I already know. Found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be.